Disculpe, estoy buscando desde el librero.
¡Sigue! ¡Sigue! ¡Capitán Nemo! ¡El mundo no precisa de nuevos continentes, sino de hombres nuevos!
Beneficio reprochado. Ofensa hecha. Uno para todos y todos para uno.
La bravura siempre es respetada, incluso en un enemigo.
¡Sigue! ¡Ale, ale!
Gracias, D'Artagnan.
Nada era del individuo, a no ser unos cuantos centímetros cúbicos dentro de su cráneo. El gran hermano es la concreción de que el partido se presenta al mundo. Su función es actuar como punta de mira para todo. ¡Sigue ahora que puedes!
Divide tu día en partes y a cada una asígnale una tarea, sin dejar un cuarto de hora, 10 minutos, ni 5 siquiera sin algo que hacer. Cuando sea así, observarás que no necesitas compañía, conversación ni simpatía de nadie, y lograrás vivir con la independencia que todo ser humano debe aspirar. Gracias, señorita Jane Eyre.
Sigue leyendo, sigue escuchando. Esto es Desde el Librero, un podcast de Librerías Gandhi. Bienvenidos, queridos lectores.
Hola, queridos amigos, ¿cómo están? Yo soy Yara Vidal y esta semana les traemos una entrevista que le realizamos hace unos años a B.E. Schwab. Me gusta luego visitar pláticas que hemos tenido en otras ocasiones porque ya ves los frutos de esas primeras ideas, de esas primeras intenciones para realizar una trilogía o ciertos libros. Y eso es lo que van a ver el día de hoy, también gracias a Editorial Urano. Vamos a escuchar la segunda parte de la plática que sostuvo Alejandra Andrade con Patrick Morgan. Espero que sea de su agrado. Comenzamos.
Y ahora, la entrevista con
Victoria Schwab. Si deseas ver la entrevista con subtítulos en español, la puedes encontrar en el canal de YouTube Revista Lee Más de Librerías Gandhi.
Hi there, I'm Victoria Schwab, also known as B.E. Schwab, and I would describe my style as a fascination with the lines between things, the line between good and evil, life and death, human and monster, hero and villain. I think a lot of people think that it takes one book to be successful, but for the vast majority of authors, we are made not by a single title, but by a body of work. The Near Witch, or La Bruja de Near, was first released in the United States 8 years ago. It's my debut novel. It found almost nobody and quickly went out of print, and now it's come back. And I think that that's proof. My first novel is now my 16th novel in English. And I just think that's proof that for the vast majority of us, it's not going to be one book. My success is not built by any one title. I think it's built by a readership that has grown a little bit with every single book. I mean, the goal of an author is to grow. This is the weird thing, is that books are static and unchanging, and authors are not. We continue to grow. And I think part of what helps is that I try to take on a different challenge in every single book. I never try to write the same story twice. I'm always looking for, what can I do that I haven't done before? Growing up, I wanted the world to be stranger than it was, and so now I write it stranger than it is. I was that kid who was always looking for secret doorways, who was always looking for a code, a way to access magic. And so I write stories in which magic or supernatural powers, in which it's all very close to reality. Perhaps you simply haven't found the way to access it yet. So Vicious is a very, very special book for me because I almost quit. I almost quit publishing, I almost quit writing, and I decided I was going to write one more book. But instead of writing for an audience of other people, I was going to write for an audience of one. I was going to write the book that was as strange and as weird and as dark as I wanted to read. And that book just happened to be Vicious. And I think I put a little bit of me into every single character in this book, a different facet of my personality, a different philosophy, but I wanted to write a book without heroes and see if I could still make you root for somebody. Yeah, I felt very free because there was nothing to lose. because I was just going to write for myself. I never even thought this book would be published. It wasn't until after I finished writing it and it served what it needed to do to reinvigorate my love of writing that I showed it to my agent and we sold it to a publisher. And now I think it is the book that most of my readers connect with most. I almost quit because everything was going really badly. I wrote The Nearwitch and I thought this debut novel will change the world because that's what we're told about debut novels, and it didn't. And it went out of print 2 years later, and I wrote another book and not many people read that one. And I wrote another book and not many people read that one. And by the age of 25, because I started quite young, I was kind of beginning to lose hope that I would ever find my audience. And it wasn't until I wrote for myself with that kind of specificity that I discovered readers out there who are just as weird and strange and villainous as I am. So Vicious is told out of linear order, non-chronologically, and it was very, very hard to figure out how. It took almost a year of tinkering with the structure to figure out how to do it, but I really wanted it to read like a comic book without pictures. And so I needed that quick change structure to work. Vicious is about Victor and Eli, two college students who start out as friends and become enemies. I am really fascinated with the nature of obsession. In fact, the Spanish title for Vicious, which is Una Obsesión Perversa, is a perfect title for this book because it is a book about obsession. It is a book about toxicity in friendships and toxicity in male friendships, especially. Where is the line between wanting to be friends with somebody and wanting to replace them? And it deals with Victor and Eli, who are two very perfectionistic, driven young men who find themselves on a crash course towards enemies. And I was curious, how do your friends become your enemies and what do you do then? So this is the last stop here in Mexico City on my Latin American tour, and it has been an absolute dream. I didn't really know what to expect coming in. I thought that I was starting from scratch, that nobody would know who I was, that I would have no readership. I was just here to open the doors, and that would have been great. That would have been fine. And instead, I have been met with so much warmth and so much love. Such an incredibly supportive fandom. And to be honest, it's kind of just beginning here. I'm really excited to see it grow. I'm just very grateful I got to do it. This bookstore is amazing. I have found so many friends' books here. I've seen such a beautiful array. I get a little depressed every time I go to a bookstore in a foreign country because as a lover of words and as a reader, I want to buy everything. And the only thing stopping me is that I don't actually read Spanish. So in that way, I'm very grateful because there's less temptation. But what a beautiful, beautiful space. I think it's really incredible, the diversity of stories that I've seen here. I didn't know about all the ghost stories when I got here, and I write ghost stories. So one of my favorite things about writing stories about ghost stories is that every time I meet somebody, they tell me a ghost story. Everyone has their own ghost stories, their own local legends, and I think that's part of what's so exciting about a city and its history is the darkness and the mystery and the ghost stories that permeate its culture. I read a lot of books out of order because I get sent a lot of books before they come out. So I recently read and loved a book called If We Were Villains by M.L. Rio, which is like a love letter to the secret history set in a Shakespeare conservatory school. I read a book called Gideon the Ninth by Tasman Muir, which is essentially lesbian necromancers in space. It's kind of everything I've always wanted in a book. I have recently read a memoir called The Scarlet Letters, which is about a young woman's life as a dominatrix for a year. I love finding different kinds of stories. I'm currently reading an essay collection called Abandon Me by Melissa Febos. Let me think, what's next on my to-read pile? Oh, I'm listening to Middle Game by Seanan McGuire, and it is about the end of the world brought about by alchemy.
Si deseas ver la entrevista con subtítulos en español, la puedes encontrar en el canal de YouTube Revista Lee Más de Librerías Gandhi.
Lee Más es la revista oficial de Librerías Gandhi, la cual la puedes adquirir en todas nuestras librerías a nivel nacional. No te olvides además que si ese mes se te fue comprar un número o quieres otro ejemplar, puedes ingresar en revistalemás.mx o gandhi.com.mx para adquirir los números anteriores por 25 pesitos.
Desde tiempos inmemoriales, la humanidad ha tratado de clasificar las personalidades. El médico griego Hipócrates ya dividía los temperamentos en cuatro tipos, y esta tendencia ha continuado a lo largo de la historia. Por ejemplo, en 1913, Carl Gustav Jung mencionó por primera vez la clasificación introversión y extroversión como parte de su tipología de la personalidad. En Lemas estábamos intrigados por la forma en la que estos rasgos podrían hablarnos acerca de los escritores y artistas. Nos preguntamos si el hecho de que sean introvertidos, extrovertidos o ambivertidos se relaciona con las increíbles obras que pueden crear. Descubrimos que la enorme vida interior de los primeros resulta tan valiosa en la creación como las aventuras en el mundo real de los segundos. Además de que hay un grupo, los ambivertidos, que pueden tomar lo mejor de ambos polos. En este número, Jaime Mesa y Adriana Romero Nieto nos recuerdan una gran lista de autores de cada bando. También tuvimos una charla con el grupo de autoayuda de dibujo que nos hizo pensar en el tema de las personalidades desde la ilustración. Armamos un test para ayudarte a descubrir si tu personalidad va más con Emily Dickinson, Ernest Hemingway u Oscar Wilde. Gilberto Díaz nos preparó un perfil del escritor Philip Roth, mientras que Sergio Tellespón abordó la mítica introversión de Marlon Brando. Las novedades artísticas y literarias no podían faltar en nuestras entrevistas del mes, que fueron sobre la Bienal FEMSA, la edición de No Give Up Man, de Libros UNAM, y el éxito de Todos Somos Villanos, de la autora M. L. Río. Finalmente, conseguimos para ti un adelanto del nuevo libro de Alice Oseman. ¡Gracias por leernos! Consigue este número en librerías Gandhi, gandhi.com.mx y revistalemas.mx, y esperamos que este viaje por los secretos de la personalidad que se esconde en las grandes mentes creativas te haga pensar, reír, abrir conversaciones y buscar nuevas y emocionantes lecturas.
Y ahora, la entrevista con
Patrick Morgan.
Before I dive into your latest book, It Will End in Disaster, which is this one right here, I want to talk a little bit about your background as an actor. And there's a reason why I'm doing this. You, of course, know why, but, you know, the viewers here are going to, I think, are going to enjoy knowing this first. So, you know, I want to know how your background as an actor has or influences currently your writing, and if you think that's in a way being like beneficial, or you know, just you know, talk a little bit about that first so we can then dive into this book.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, for as long as I can remember, I always wanted to be an actor and a writer as a kid. Those were like the only two. I was never, I want to be an astronaut or a president or something like that. It was always actor and writer, and those were always my passions growing up. Even as a kid, I used to do little like haunted houses and things that I would bring my, you know, family members through, and you know, put on little shows and skits, and that sort followed me through high school and then into college when I pursued theater. To me, the through line with acting and writing is storytelling. I mean, that's the commonality there. If you're looking at a Venn diagram, that's where the intersection happens between those two art forms. And obviously they're very different. You know, acting, you're literally getting on stage or in front of a camera and it's you. You're kind of, you know, even though you're playing a character, it's still make-believe, but like you are literally up there kind of creating something with your body and your voice and your face. With writing, you're leaving a lot of that to the reader, obviously. It's still storytelling, but you know, you're putting words on a page, whether it's a typewriter or paper and pen or a computer or whatever it is. So I think for me, at least, I've always loved storytelling. I've always loved sharing stories, whether I'm the one on the receiving end or I'm the one who's putting those stories out into the world. And I think my acting training, since I'm not pursuing it anymore, the best thing I can say about it is just that it really has kind of given me an appreciation for storytelling and for being able to communicate and a lot of practice. You know what I mean? I was in a lot of plays. I've been in a lot of films, short films, not anything that anyone would have seen or whatever, Hollywood blockbusters. But, you know, that experience of collaboration, that experience of, how important setting is, how important, you know, a character's motivation is, how important, you know, the subtext, the things that go unsaid between two characters. If you're looking at the dialogue between two characters in a play or a screenplay, you know, there's so much that's living beneath the surface, you know, in terms of those characters' hidden motivations and their reactions to what the other person is saying. And I think that has definitely influenced my writing, hopefully in a good way.
Yeah, I agree that, you know, storytelling and acting, they're just like, you know, go hand in hand. And it's been very interesting to read your latest book, because now that we're going to actually start talking about it, the main character, he's an actor. And I really wanted to talk a little bit about that, you know, with you, about how, what, like the reasons behind you choosing an actor as your main character. Like, was it something that you did just because to serve the story, or is it something that also served as an outlet for you, or, you know, like, you know, just to tell us a little bit more about, you know, the character, and if you, of course, can tell us more about what this story is about, so people who don't know about it can know, because this is one of my favorites of yours, if I have to admit it.
Well, thanks. You certainly had a hand in helping me with this book a lot, and I still am eternally grateful for your contributions to this book. Ali, as you know, I'm sure, and as I'm sure a lot of writers know, anytime you put a book out into the world, people are going to be like, oh, is this you? You know, that's the character. Like, is this you? Did this happen to you? And you're like, is this not? Does it say nonfiction on the genre? Does it say a memoir? You know,
because
if it doesn't, then it's fiction, and it's a story that you're concocting. And I certainly have no illusions over the, you know, the fact that at the end of the day, it came from my imagination. And what is that? That's a composite of both things that you come up out of the blue, but also your life experience, people you meet, media that you consume, other stories that you hear, whatever it is, all of these things certainly contribute to the storytelling vehicle. For me, this book, I guess my elevator pitch to start off with, It Will End in Disaster, is basically, it's two characters. It's a man and a woman. The man is a struggling actor. The woman is a very successful casting director. They're both out in Hollywood. They happen to meet during an audition. There's an attraction there. They instantly have some chemistry. It's pretty charged. It's pretty spicy, if I do say so myself. And then they, over the course of the novel, get further and further entangled, both professionally and personally. And, you know, one of the many taglines here is, who's using who in this situation? Is she using him for, you know, because he's this young, hot thing or whatever, and she's trying to, you know, she's genuinely in love with him. Is she using him to further her own career, or does she have some secret nefarious purposes that might be bordering on, you know, the mystical? And then from his perspective, you know, is he in love with this woman? Is it love? Is it lust? Is he using her to advance his career? You know, perhaps all of the above can be true. Obviously, as in the title implies, it's a very combustible situation.
Yeah.
But then, you know, that's kind of the elevator pitch of the story itself, to sort of tie it back into your earlier question about my background as an actor. I did not set out to like write a book about, you know, my experience as an actor. I was not like, oh, I'm going to write a book one day that's like shows my experiences. This did not happen to me. I've had people ask me, they're like, are you the person here? Did this happen to you? Did you meet this casting director? Did all this? None of this happened to me. If any of this happened to me, I probably wouldn't be here talking to you right now today for a myriad reasons. But I think more than anything for me, I like to talk about this book. It's very much like a Faustian tale, or like Dr. Faust is the classic deal with the devil type story. That's very much the inspiration behind this book. I think there are a lot of stories, books, movies, TV shows that kind of have those elements to them, and those themes of Viaticum certainly is very similar to this book, even despite other things we might talk about or might not. It's a similar concept in terms of like just how far are you willing to go to pursue your dreams. I think that's just a very interesting concept that is something that's always resonated with me. So personally, it just felt like the acting thing was a very familiar avenue that I could use to tell this story of these two people who blur those lines between professional and personal. But also, you know, obviously I do a lot of research, but I also could pull, this was the first book that I could pull from my own background a bit more when it comes to some of the nuances of that.
Yeah, I think it's easier when you can just like, you know, tap into those, your experiences without making the book about you. You know, you're talking about the things you know. And I think that makes it very rich, you know. And of course, people always want to know that, like, oh, yeah, you're this, you're that, this happened to you. But I just think, you know, people are curious. But yeah, I agree. That's happened to me plenty of times. Are you Billy? Are you like, you know, and, you know, asking about my main characters. And I'm like, no, I'm not. But, you know, it's inevitable to always, you know, tap into our own experiences again without or knowledge, because again, it's, I think it's, you know, all this acting in Hollywood, you know, scene, it's something that makes a lot of people curious and a lot of people are interested in that. So I think it really does add to the story that it's, you know, we've always like, you know, thought like, oh, maybe this, they say like there's, you know, rumors about, you know, actors or actresses having to do certain things to get to the top and how that's, you know, something that no one talks about. But then, you know, of course, there are like certain movements that come up with like Me Too or whatever, where like things get out of hand and some of these stories come out and it's like, you know, horrifying to listen to them or to, you know, read about them. So I just feel like it's a very interesting topic for people. And I just think that this story taps a bit into like that scene, that mystery, that world that everyone's very curious about. So, yeah.
You're totally right.
Yeah. And so what I wanted to ask too, it's about like Celine. She is my favorite character in the book. I've seen reviews of people in Bookstagram and a lot of people agree with me where it's like, you know, like she just shines. And she, again, it's the type of like morally, you know, you don't grayish where you're like, you don't really understand who these characters are or like their true intentions, but still there's something like magnetic about them. And like every time she was like in a scene and I would read about her, it was always like exciting, you know? So I just wanted you to tell us a bit more about her, you know, the purpose of her or like a character, like a strong woman like that in the story, like what's, you know, without giving too much away, of course, just like to let more people know about your characters, you know, and the role they play in this particular story.
Yeah, no, it's a great question. Celine is also my favorite character. It was definitely the most fun to write in this story, and one of my favorite characters of all my books, honestly. And it's wonderful to see that kind of reaction as well on Bookstagram, and to see it from readers, people who find her as alluring and enthralling and mysterious and complex as I hoped that she would be, and how I kind of saw her in my imagination. Obviously she's a very powerful woman, as you mentioned. You know, she's a high powered casting director. She, unlike the main character, you know, or the male character rather, who is very much a struggling actor trying to kind of find his footing and rise up through the ranks, she's very established, you know, from the moment you meet her. She has a lot of her, you know, all her ducks in a row, so to speak. Obviously she has her own motivations and her own desires and things that she still wants to kind of move forward as far as her character arc is concerned. But she's definitely, they're very much start the book at two different places. And that's kind of, I think, what makes some of their push-pull and their energy very interesting and intriguing. I think I did not necessarily set out to do this, but as I was writing, I was certainly aware of, you know, what people refer to as, you know, spicy Bookstagram or spicy books, smut books. You know, and this is a whole subgenre, if you will, in and of itself, or not, I don't even know if it's a subgenre, but like something that bleeds into a lot of other genres, whether it's thrillers or fantasy or romance. And I think I definitely became aware of the fact after I started writing it that, you know, a lot of these books, as I read more of them myself and got more acquainted with, you know, just how far you could go in terms of some of these, you know, sex scenes, or, you know, even before sex, just, you know, the kind of the charge and the chili peppers, you know. I think there's a lot of, I think personally, if I do say so myself, what makes this book kind of unique and interesting and perhaps worthy of people's attention and their read is that I don't think there are a lot of books that are spicy that are written by male authors. You know, predominantly most of, and I'm not saying that there aren't some great ones out there, but I think this, most of the spicy books you're going to encounter are female authors, which is great, obviously. And I do think the majority of those types of books also, when you talk about, you know, the female is usually kind of the protagonist, it's from her point of view. And then you have this sort of strong, mysterious, you know, brooding, masculine figure oftentimes. Yeah. You know, whether it's a vampire or a billionaire or, you know, the grumpy sunshine, you know,
all the tropes,
all the tropes, whatever it is, that's very, you know, which is great. I think that's wonderful. And there's, and clearly that works. And again, I didn't set out to do this, but I became aware of this as I was writing it, that I thought it was kind of fun to look at it from a different perspective. You know, as a man myself, obviously having a point of view from his perspective, from the actor's perspective, but then having the woman be this mysterious, alluring, magnetic force, you know, that is, I think most people who've read the book, and this is not giving anything away, would admit that she's the stronger of the two characters, because that's real life. You know, obviously it's not tropes or, you know, tropes or whatever, but I think there's plenty, who's to say that, you know, a man is always stronger than a woman, or a man is more powerful or more mysterious than a woman. That's not life. That hasn't been my experience, at least. It has nothing to do with gender or sexuality. So yeah. I think that perhaps is one of the unique facets of this book. I've certainly had a lot of readers also tell me that they thought that, you know, aside from the story itself, they just thought it was interesting to read a spicier book from a male perspective, just because, and again, there are plenty of writers who write, you know, point of views from both male and female characters, but just knowing that the author is a straight male in this book, you know, I think is an interesting, I don't know what to say, but just
it's, no, it's is different. It is. It's actually something that a lot of people have mentioned about your book when you were creating all these teasers and you were like talking about like, oh, I'm gonna, you know, working on like an erotic psychological thriller. I feel like everyone was like, wait, so like a guy is gonna write it like, you know, like sex scenes and all these things where it's where we're just used to being like having that market so sort of like dominated by women. And that is, you know, a topic in and of itself where we're talking about like, well, men written by women and how that's all a thing. And like, you know, so I think a lot of women were curious, you know, to read, you know, this other perspective. And I feel like, everyone enjoyed it so far. Like I've seen nothing but great reviews, like regarding not only of the book, but like about that, because I feel like you were being, you know, tested in a way of like, okay, we're gonna, you know, like they were like, everyone was like, okay, we're gonna read this, but you're like, they really were like with, you know, magnifying glass and being like, let's see if this guy can pull it up or not, you know.
No, and you're right. Like, you see that. I mean, I see that all the time on Bookstagram, people who's, you know, that's, it's a meme in and of itself where it's, women saying, I prefer men written by women rather than men written by men.
Or men.
Yeah, exactly.
Or real men.
Or real. Yes, exactly. Yeah. You're totally right. I prefer fictional men to real men, you know?
Yeah, especially if they're written by women.
You know? I get it. Listen, I remember reading Twilight, even as a straight man and as a teenager probably at the time or whenever it came out, I was like, oh my gosh, Edward Cullen. Wow. You know, so I get it.
Yeah. It's made to like, you know, create this reactions. Yes, you know,
totally. I 100% agree. And I love it. I just, again, it wasn't why I set out to write the book, but I think that was a fun sort of unintended, other aspect of it that as I went along and then seeing, of course, as you mentioned, the reaction, that was a relief. I'd be lying if I said it wasn't a relief. If everybody came away from that and was like, this is why men shouldn't write spicy, you know, spicy books, I'd be disappointed. I would be like, wow, shoot. Well, yeah. I guess I failed, you know, or whatever. So I'm grateful that the reaction has been positive, which is wonderful.
Yeah, I agree with everyone's reviews I've seen. And I just remember, you know, reading it myself and just being like, you know, jaw dropping, like, this is good, you know, because, you know, being like, as I said, like a romance reader, I do like get the chance to compare this, and it was perfect, you know. So I highly recommend, if everyone likes reading their spicy books with a touch of thriller, you really need to get into this one. You have to read it. All Patrick's books are available to buy from the Gandhi store. They're in ebook form. And of course, you can get the ebooks at Gandhi. And just to end this conversation, because we are running a little bit out of time, but I really want to do this just so that people can get to know you a bit more. I want to ask you like some quick questions. You can just give me like a quick answer. Just like the first thing you're thinking about. There's no passing on those. So you just you can be like,
I love the games. Pass. I love the game at the beginning of like which book is you pull out. And now I know the word passing. Got it.
Yeah, no passing. And I mean, I don't think you can pass on any of these. If they're super, I made them very easy for you. So here we go.
To that. Yeah.
Okay, so we're starting out. Favorite snack.
Favorite snack. I mean, this is it. This is a great
question. It's in your bio, right?
It's
in your
bio. This is in my bio. It's on my website, so it's not super mysterious. It is super shameful, but nacho cheese Doritos dipped into a cold jar of Tostitos salsa con queso. My pronunciation, I'm trying to salsa con
queso. Perfect. That sounded perfect.
Salsa con queso, but
no, let's
let's not do that. But yeah, I know it's a lot of cheese, but I've been doing that since childhood and still carries into adulthood, ashamedly so.
No, that's a great snack, actually, and I love it too. A book you recently read and enjoyed.
Well, someone, I don't want to name any names, but someone had been pestering me for quite some time about reading The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. Don't want to name any names, but it's speaking to. And that book certainly delivered. I mean, honestly, the majority of the books that I've read, you know, that I've really loved, I can't just say your books or our other friend Caitlin Moss, shout out to Caitlin. But yes, as far as like a book that, other than my friends, The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue was fantastic. As
advertised. Yeah, I thought you were going to enjoy that one just because of what we mentioned just now about the like a Faustian, like, you know, deal with the devil thing, like in the mystical aspect of it. I thought that like, yeah, Patrick's going to enjoy this one.
Right. Yeah.
Writing, day or night?
Day, definitely day for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God. I don't know why I thought you were going to say night.
Night is definitely the sexier answer. And I'm not to say I've done, I think, some really great writing at night as well. And like day will bleed into night.
Yeah.
But at least in terms of like,
like setting up. Like you do it more in the, during the day.
I wish I could say I was a night owl, but yeah, no, I usually go to bed at 10 p.m. So.
That's the healthy thing to do. I know this one, but beach or mountains?
Yeah, that's I do love the mountains, but I got to say beach as someone who lives in L.A. Beach.
I mean, if you follow Patrick at, you know, on Instagram, I'm sure you can tell in the first 3 minutes of like scrolling that he loves the beach. Now, musical artist that inspires you to write.
Okay, so not even favorite musical artist, but musical artist. I like that question. That's nice. I thought you were going to be like favorite musical artist. I was like, oh man, that's tough. It depends on the mood. But to write, Hans Zimmer by far and away. Like I admire, speaking of Twilight and Edward Cullen, I admire Stephanie Meyer that she can write to Muse. Like the band Muse is, I think, her muse, you know, pun intended or whatever. Yeah. But I can't, that's too much for me, at least. I need something that's much more ambient music, sort of without lyrics, preferably. And Hans Zimmer just always gets my imaginative wheels turning.
Yeah, I agree. Hans Zimmer is amazing for writing. I can do writing with lyrics, but it has to be something soft, something, you know, more melodic or something. But yeah, I agree. It's a lot of information when you're just trying to like download. And then you're, you know.
Good way to put it.
Tacos or pizza? Think before you answer this one.
Think about my target audience.
Yeah. Be honest.
No, honestly, I would probably say pizza. And again, they're both great. It's like choosing between two wonderful things. But yeah, I've probably consumed more pizza in my life
You haven't tried like the real good tacos. Maybe you're just having your
I will say I've lived cumulatively, I think about like 13 years of my life in Texas, which again, it's not Mexico level tacos.
Nope, never.
Better than like other parts. And obviously even living currently in Southern California, we do have Mexican food as well.
Yeah, you have like Latin, you've been living in like Latin predominant, yes. You know, yes. Places. Yeah.
So it's probably better than like if I lived somewhere else in the US or, you know, Canada or whatever, but.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I agree. Okay, so pizza for Patrick in Manhattan. You know how to win his heart with a side of Doritos. thrillers or sci-fi?
That's a great question. Obviously, I write more thrillers. That's a great question.
But just like as a concept, you know, like not as a writer, not as a reader, just like the concepts, like thrillers versus sci-fi.
I gotta go thrillers. And obviously I know you do too. We both have a major soft spot in our heart for sci-fi, but I gotta go thrillers, both from creating and consuming.
Perfect. Now a place that you want to go traveling to.
Oh, a place I want to go traveling to.
That you've never been to.
That I've never been to. I would love to go. This is the first one that came to mind. I would love to go to Greece. I think that I love Greek food. I think it's a beautiful part of the world from what I've heard. I'm sad that I've never been to Europe. And I just love the history there. I've always loved Greek mythology. Mythology in general, I think is fascinating. I think it'd be fun to see all the architecture. That's probably right up there with places I'd like to visit.
Yeah, I think we should send you there so you can get some inspiration, because I'm dying to get some Greek mythology, psychological thriller from you, maybe.
Yeah, twist my arm. That's not a hard sell. I'll do it.
Yeah, I would love to see something like that from you. Yeah, in case you want to write that down.
Got it.
If you were given the opportunity to turn one of your books into a film, which one would you choose and why?
Oh gosh, that's a tough question. I mean,
I didn't send you this one beforehand.
No, so it's good. I don't think you sent the destination one either. I
added a few.
I like that you're doing the. No, it's good. It's keeping me on my toes still. These sprinkling in these new additions.
This is the last question, but yeah.
Yeah, no, that's such a tough question. And it's such obvious, the obvious answer is that I would love to turn all of them into films or TV shows.
Yeah, I know, but you can't say that.
That's the classic, like, kind of more wishes, you know?
Yeah, yeah, no, like, we need an answer.
I'm going to say this just because this also, people will often ask, like, which is my favorite book, which again is always hard. And I compare that question to being like, who's your favorite child? Like, it's a tough, you can't, I mean, it's, I mean, maybe some parents know, but I think to me, it's like, they're all so different, but.
Yeah. But you can have the, like, imagine there's like a producer in front of you and they're like, give me a book and I'm turning it into a movie right now. You have to choose.
Totally. And I love all my books, but I think my favorite, for whatever reason, at least as of now, is Viaticum. So like if pressed into turning it into a film, I would choose that one. And why? I think you said this earlier when you were talking. I don't know if you said it was you or your sister, but you know, I think you mentioned that was the one.
My sister.
She read it and she was describing it as if she thought it was a film, and then she's like, "Oh wait, this is actually a book that I read." Yeah. I feel like hopefully all of the books have that quality, and I do think that they are all cinematic. And my background again,
very much,
in theater and entertainment industry, I think lends her perhaps to that. But I do think that one is very much like, as I was writing it, I can still vividly, like in my mind, see all the settings and the characters, and everything was just very, very crystalline clear with that one in terms of like the details. And I think that see it jumping to motion picture very easily.
Yeah, that would be a movie that I would watch, like for sure. Like it's, I can also, as you said, I think it's a very detailed, like the scenarios and just like the places I can imagine perfectly, like the office where he goes to work and like the grass and like all these things, like you're very specific about them without being like over the top where you're like, let me imagine some of the things, you know, like it's a balance. And I think you do it very well, where you give us enough information to picture those things. Well, you know, without having to, you know, it doesn't become boring, or right. or it's like, well, now you go, you gave me everything, right? So I think you did a great job at that. And I agree that it would be an amazing movie. Yes, my sister was the one who said that. So there's a reason why. So thank you so much, Patrick. This is the end of our chat here. And I just would love for you to share with the audience, where can they find you? Where can they, you know, reach you in case they want to like talk to you or something? Like, yeah. Tell us about your socials, your website, etc.
Sure. Instagram, definitely, I would say, is probably the best place for me. I'm at Patrick Morgan Author is my handle. I think that's what the term is, right? Handle, your Instagram, yeah. Your IG handle. I am also on TikTok. I'm relatively new on TikTok. I believe I'm also Patrick Morgan Author on TikTok as well. Still growing that one, trying to, you know, stay relevant and cool with all the cool young whippersnapper kids. but yes, Instagram is definitely the one that I'm checking, almost every day, if not every day, and very responsive on. And I would love to communicate with anybody. As Ali mentioned earlier, I can't guarantee you that I will be like, well, this is what happened at the end of Apparent Horizon, or this is what happened at the end of Realms, or any of the books.
But you're open to chat.
But I'm open to chatting and at least discussing things. And, you know, I'm not going to necessarily confirm nor deny theories, but I certainly will communicate about the books or about anything else. Happy to communicate with my readers.
Perfect. Well, there you have it, guys. And thank you again, Patrick, for taking the time for this interview, and we'll see you next time.
Thanks for having me.
Si deseas ver la entrevista con subtítulos en español, la puedes encontrar en el canal de YouTube Revista Lee Más de Librerías Gandhi.
Queridos escuchas, lectores de primera, gracias por escucharnos. La próxima semana ya tenemos programa principal, no el bonus, pero bueno, se los tenemos de sorpresita. Y ya saben que en nuestras redes, en @libreriasgandhi, tenemos los teasers que les vamos soltando poco a poco información de quién será nuestro siguiente invitado. Les mando un abrazo gigantesco. Gracias por oírnos. Ya saben que tenemos la hemeroteca de la revista Lee Más en www.revistalemas.mx. Pueden comprar la revista de este mes en gandhi.com.mx, y las noticias de todos los días, culturalmente hablando, están en mascultura.mx, como nuestros eventos Gandhi, y nuestras redes @revistalemas, nuestro canal de YouTube Revista Lee Más de Librerías Gandhi. Y si quieren escribirnos, puede ser en el cliente @gandhi.com.mx o contacto@revistalemas.mx. Y les mando un abrazo muy grande. Que tengan un fin de semana muy increíble.